What's up, guys? Welcome back to Strength 101, the podcast where we break down fitness and nutrition into its simplest form so that you can get the results that you want. And speaking of results, today we're going to talk about abs because everybody wants them and nobody's got them. So today I'm going to take you through my blueprint for how you're going to get visible abs, and it may be easier than you think. Well, it might not be easy. I think that the methods are very simple. It doesn't mean that it's not hard to do. And the reality is that almost nobody has abs. I mean, there's these videos floating around the Instagram right now that are claiming that only 1 in 25,000 men or people, I don't know, you'll have to watch the video, have abs, but that's less common to have a visible six-pack than it is to have a million-dollar net worth in the United States of America. I don't know if that's a true stat. You know, something like 84% of stats are made up on the spot, so that might be that. But it's worth considering that why is it so difficult? And I think the answer, not to why it's so difficult, but I think that explains why it's so cherished, because we all want abs. It's the most elusive, it's the most desired characteristic of a developed human physique. There's no shortcut for it. Abs are the ultimate jaw dropper for both men and for women. They're rare, and therefore they signify hard work, dedication, and discipline, because like I said, there is no cheat code to them. Even people who take steroids, they may be too high body fat still, even on steroids, to see their abs. So it takes a combination of things. And your key elements, if you actually want to have visible abs, is two things, not one thing. They say abs are made in the kitchen, and that's a bunch of BS. Abs are grown in the damn gym because they're a muscle, and you want to grow them just like any other muscle. And so if you want visible abs, there's really two paths. You can grow your ab muscles to be extremely profound. I highly recommend this because there's no harm, no foul for it. Sure, you may never get shredded enough to see your abs, but if you have strong abs, then at least your lower back pain is going to be dialed back, and you're going to be strong enough to be strong and muscular in other areas of your body. That's the first thing, is think about abs as muscles, and you want to grow them to be bigger and stronger. And as you can imagine, just like your bicep looks more round and more pointy at the peak when you grow it, your abs look more like bread rolls when you grow them. The second step is the one we all know. We have to reduce body fat enough to increase the visibility of those abs. Most men are going to have abs maybe starting at like 15% body fat and below. These are all just guesstimates. Women's abs are going to show up in that range of 12 to 19%. Now, that depends on the person. It depends on what you consider abs. I would say a female at 19% body fat, that's not some extreme example, is going to have those two lines down the side of their abs, but maybe they're not going to see a six pack. And it all just depends on where your fat distribution is. But we'll get into that. So let's talk about the first part first, and I think the one that gets skipped by a lot of people is actually seeing the abdominal muscles as something to grow. So let's talk about growing them. You have four abdominal muscle groups that you have to pay attention to, really only two of them that you actually have to pay attention to. You got your rectus abdominis. That is your six pack. That is the big six pack abs right there. It's the one that runs straight down the middle, and it is responsible for flexing your spine. So if you think, just like if you're looking at me on the video right now, I am crunching my rib cage down to my hips, and you can feel your abs flex when you do that. This is what we think of as abs, rectus abdominis. External oblique, that's going to be these things that sit right on the sides of your abs, connecting your rib cage to your hips on the sides. And that's something that's responsible for twisting you and also for side crunching you. And when those are super developed, they frame in your six pack. They give that handle on the sides when they're really developed that somebody just wants to grab onto. The internal oblique is a layer deeper. So these abs are not just next to each other. They're actually different layers in depth from your belly button down. The internal oblique is deeper. You don't see it a lot of times. The only place that it's really visible, and it also helps with twisting and side crunching, the internal oblique is only visible as that V-shaped line that's more commonly on men than on women, that kind of goes from just above the jeans down to the groin. If you know what muscle I'm talking about, you know what muscle I'm talking about. So internal oblique, that's going to give you that V shape down towards the groin. Transverse abdominis is the one that almost nobody talks about, but people tend to train it actually quite a lot. That is a large corset type muscle that wraps all the way around your torso here. And so it's really, really deep, and it's responsible for stabilizing your spine. And so it's largely unseen. It could potentially contribute to a flatter looking stomach on your lower abs, but most people are not seeing their abs because they're not training their transverse abdominis. So the ones that we're really going to focus on, the ones that you can actually see the most, is the rectus abdominis, which I said is responsible for pulling the ribs down to the hips, bending over, flexing the spine, and the external obliques, which are responsible for side crunching and twisting. Now, not all ab exercises are the same when it comes to muscle growth, just like not all exercises for biceps are the same for bicep growth. If you want to grow a muscle, you have to go through a relatively large range of motion. It needs to be loaded and have the opportunity to be progressively loaded, meaning get stronger at it over time. And we want the ability to push as close as possible to failure, whether that's strength failure or whether we're just getting such a deep burn in these abs that they are going to grow. Because remember, that's how we send a signal to the muscle that it needs to grow. We either have to challenge it on a strength basis by putting really heavy weights on it and challenging its strength in the 5 to 8 rep range, or we have to pummel it with fatigue so much that it sends a signal that it needs to get bigger and stronger. So let's talk about what exercises are actually going to help you grow your abs, because I think it's going to be different than what you think. Most people are doing the wrong exercises if they actually want to get bigger abs. And you got to think, if I have bigger abs, they actually show at higher body fat. It's just like if I were to put, let's make up an example on the spot here. I'm going to line up 6 mini Coke cans in a row in a tub, and then I'm going to pour water over them. After a certain amount of water, I'm not going to be able to see the top of those Coke cans anymore. But if I put large Arizona iced tea cans in there, then I'm going to need more water before those are fully covered up. And the water is your body fat. And so you got to think, you're just making those bread rolls, those cans on that six pack larger. And so it takes more body fat to cover them up and to fill the in-betweens. So exercises that do not grow muscle very well, that people do a lot of, are holding variations. So I want you to think of planks. I mean, how many ab workouts have you done where you doubled down on planks? Just holding a front plank, holding a side plank, plank variations, lifting your leg, lifting your arm, whatever. Different types of marches, whether that's holding a weight or not holding a weight. Anything that's static, meaning it doesn't move the actual abdominal muscles much, is gonna be great for developing strength and stability of your core. And what I mean by that is, a plank is teaching you to be stronger at not moving your spine. That is extremely helpful for something like a squat and a deadlift, when we have to teach ourselves to lock up our spine and use our glutes and other muscles to move the weight. However, while the abs might be strong at holding a position, they are not going to have profound muscles because they haven't been taught to shorten and to lengthen. And so, as much as I love planks, oh, Griswold the dog, if you guys can hear him, is barking. We got an intruder at the door. Chris, chill out. Sit down, buddy. Sit down. Okay. Threat neutralized. See, Griswold also hates planks because he's a big fan of the six-pack. He thinks that if you're going to be doing work, then it should show. And so no planks for Griswold the dog. So what muscles really should you be doing if you actually want to grow your abs? That's the question. I think first, you want to double down on loaded variations. Our favorite ones in the gym are some type of weighted crunch, whether that's literally just getting into a crunch position and grabbing a plate or a dumbbell and just trying to sit up with it. Or I really love decline sit-ups because I mentioned that range of motion is necessary. We love putting our benches at a decline and then slowly rolling down with weight overhead and then sitting up with it. That was actually an exercise that I did all throughout college, and I did it because I just thought it was going to make me crazy strong because I was a high jumper. I didn't really care about the abs, but it gave me insanely developed abs, and I became known for the guy who always had abs. I didn't realize why until later, until I learned more about these things. All right, threat is neutralized. Griswold's no longer barking. Let's get back into it. Exercises that are going to grow your muscles on your abs. We love weighted crunches. We love decline sit-ups. Like I said, range of motion is huge, and so if you can get into a decline position or you get on one of those GHDs that they have at the CrossFit gyms and you can actually go into a nice stretch position with a load on and then sit up and crunch into a flex position, that is going to be huge. I have stacked tons of mass onto my actual abs because of that variation. I also absolutely love Russian twists, slow and controlled Russian twists, keeping your feet off the ground and actually trying to reach fully towards the ground, actually trying to twist as hard as you can. Absolutely love that exercise. hanging knee and leg raises, even though technically they're not loaded, their body weight, usually the weight of your body is enough for it to feel like a loaded exercise for your abs. And the key with that one is you always have to think, I'm going to tuck my hips under, right? If I just draw my knees up and I never tuck my butt under and actually roll my body underneath, then I'm probably not hitting those abs. And I would say that there are tons of people out there in the bodybuilding community with really, really well-developed abs that do mostly knee raises and leg raise variations. So if you can do either of those are going to be massive for growing your abs too. Any of these, you want to find a way to make them difficult, right? I would rather do these for sets of 8 and 10 with a heavier load than do them for sets of 20, even though there's a place for both of those. Another one I didn't mention is loaded side crunches. Here's something that drives me absolutely nuts, guys. You look at somebody in the gym and they're doing side crunches and they have a dumbbell or a plate in both hands, one on each side, and they're shifting side to side. That doesn't make any sense because the weight in one hand is helping pull the weight in the other hand over. You're neutralized. Yes, you might feel the muscles a little bit, but just put a weight in one hand, guys, and fight against that side. So what I'm gonna do on that is I'm gonna feel that stretch on the side of the abs. This is how you're gonna develop those obliques, that frame in on the abs. And then I'm coming down and I'm gonna crunch my ribs to my hips on the side as hard as I can. And those are phenomenal, especially because you can get them up to really heavy loads. There's really technically no maximum that you can do on that stuff. So double down on load. You wanna use these to progress in control and strength, and you're seeking an ab pump when you do this. And so that's that feeling of blood rushing into those muscles, them feeling larger than they normally are. You definitely should get some soreness from these. But if you can start to add in loaded abdominal exercises and progress them over the course of 4, 6, 8 weeks, you're going to see ab growth grow and go insane. Now, you're not going to see it if you can't actually see it in the mirror, if your body fat's not low enough. But even if you're feeling around, you should be able to feel that muscle is developing beneath that subcutaneous body fat. Now, for unloaded exercises, because you can't just do loaded exercises all the time, unloaded exercises are a great place to use the fatigue model where you're just trying to do as many reps as possible. You're trying to fatigue the crap out of them, and you're doing a ton of different variations, so you're hitting those abs from all types of different angles and challenges. And so that's where we really like not relying too heavily on plank variations, but training close to failure for a lot of reps over a short period of time. So one of my favorite ones that I used to do when I was in college, we still do it in the gym today when we have enough time for it, is 8-minute abs. Used to say, it's only 8 minutes of your day, guys. You can get a shredded six pack, or at least the development of those abs, by doing the 8-minute abs a day. And that all that is you choose 16 different exercises. You can choose them as you go, and you do it 30 seconds back to back. You never stop for 8 minutes, and I can promise you your abs will be completely torched when you're done. And the one thing that you'll be certain of, you might not be certain if you actually grew your abs, but you'd be certain that you sent a signal to the abs that they weren't strong enough, and that's what's actually going to constitute growth in the long run. And so two different methods there for growing your abs. You can go loaded and practice your strength as long as you're doing flexing exercises, or you can do unloaded exercises and you can just put a ton of fatigue into it and feel like your abs are burning so much that you have to stop. And those are both going to be ways that you're going to be able to actually grow the muscle so that it's more profound when you do reveal it. Frequency is obviously huge when it comes for muscle growth. And so doing abs once a week is probably not going to make them bigger and stronger. 3 times a week minimum. Some people like to do abs every day. I think that's overboard. But 3 times a week, if you're going either till failure on trying to hit as many reps as possible, or you're going close to failure on as much strength as possible with a loaded movement, then your abs will grow like crazy. And I'm not just talking about just a six pack, but the obliques, everything will grow like crazy. So then we're on to the last step. If you have grown those abs, if you put the work in the gym, and now you've avoided this step, this is your key. You have to reduce body fat. I'm not even going to spend that much time on it because we all know the model. If this is your first time hearing from me how to reduce body fat, you need to go back to one of our podcasts where I lay this out in depth and I tell you exactly what your calories should be for your height, what your amount of protein should be. But I'll give you a brief overview here. First thing to remember, you cannot control where fat is removed from your body. Some people lose fat on their triceps first. Some people lose it on their back first. Some on their ankles. Like, it just depends. And some people are lucky enough that it comes off their abs early. But most people, it's going to come off your abs close to last. That's why you have to have such low body fat in order to see them. And frankly, like, if you could fat target by just doing a bunch of ab work, then we would see people walking around with fat arms, fat legs, fat back, and shredded six pack. I've never seen it. Have you? It sounds funky because it is funky because it doesn't exist, because that's not the way biology works. And so you have to get on board with just taking your time, lowering your body fat until you can actually see it. And I can promise you, if you've never done that before, it's lower than you think it is. But if you keep doing it, when you do see them, it's one of the most satisfying things in the world. I've been able to see my abs since I was like in seventh grade, and I've only done brief stints where I've eaten enough food where I actually cover them up. And I can promise you that you feel much more confident about yourself when you can see your abs and when you can't. I'm not saying it's for everybody, but I'm saying if you haven't tried it, you should give it a shot. Now, your abs and their shape, too, is something to mention. Those are determined by different fascial lines that are along your abs. And so this explains why some people have an 8-pack. Some people seem to look like they only have a 4-pack. Some people have abs that are very symmetrical and even, very beautiful looking. And some people have zipper abs where it literally looks like there's a stair step going on down their abs. You can't control any of that. That's genetic. And so all you can do is improve the set of abdominal muscles that you've been given. Back to how much body fat percentage, we were talking about getting to 15% or below for men before you're probably going to see your abs. And if you get lower, if you get below that 10%, you're going to start seeing all the little details of those abs. People are going to stop and stare at you if you have your shirt off. For women, 19% body fat is where it's going to start. Likely, you're going to start to see those lines cave in. We have one of our members, Jamie Galgowski, who we interviewed on the podcast just a couple weeks ago. She sits at 12% and she has a completely shredded 6-pack. And so that's a good area to look at for women. At least at a target if you're trying to calculate how many pounds you need to lose in order to see them. The simplest method to lose weight, guys, and this is as straightforward as I can make it, you have to reduce your calories, which means on some level, you're going to have to reduce the amount of food that you eat consistently over a period of time. It's not going to happen in a week. It's probably not even going to happen in 8 weeks for most of us. It depends on how much weight you have to lose. But consistently start to pull down your portion sizes, and eventually you will get there. You have to keep your protein high, usually 180 to 200 grams for men and 100 grams to 130 grams for women. You have to be patient. Just know that the abs are there. They're just hiding. And so I want you to pull down your calories. Use a tracking app. Actually track how many calories you are eating now and then start pulling them down 500 calories at a time until that hunger starts to spring up and you start seeing that scale weight going down. Keep your protein high so you recover from your workouts and you don't hate your life. And then just stay patient. And eventually you're going to look in the mirror. You're going to see your abs. You're going to feel like you did something that nobody else can get a handle on. I'm telling you guys, when you know that you can control your weight up and down, it is a freaking superpower, because anybody you go talk to in your local community does not feel like they actually have control of their body weight. If you learn these methods, if you learn how to control your eating, you learn how to keep your protein up and learn how to bring your body fat percentages down, you feel like you have a superpower that everybody else wants, but they have not learned and they do not have access to. So back to what we originally got on. In order to have abs, there's two elements. You got to grow those abs because they're a muscle. So make them stronger, make them bigger using loaded ab exercises and using ab circuits that push you until you're close to failure. And then you have to reduce your body fat, cut back those portion sizes, cut back those calories, and start keeping high protein levels. And then one day you'll lift up that shirt, you'll see those abs, you'll be proud as hell of the work that you put in, and then you will also know whether or not you like the amount of effort necessary to keep abs all year round. I think that everybody should do it at least once, because then they will know. If you do it once, then you stop wondering whether you can do it, and then you start being realistic with yourself about whether you actually like staying that lean all year round. Some people will get down, they'll see their abs, and they'll never want to see them to go away, and is a new standard for their life. Some people will go down, they'll see their abs once, and they'll be like, that was a total bitch to do. That freaking sucked. Like, I will never go through that process again. And then they can stop wondering whether or not they can do it, because they know they can do it, and that now it's just a choice that they are not staying that shredded. And I think that that gives you a lot of mental peace. If you guys want to find out more information about us, or you just want to ask me a question, you guys can find me personally at Nick, N-I-C-K, _Byom, B-Y-O-M, on Instagram. You can find our gym page at Strength Academy RF on Instagram. And you can find stuff on YouTube and on TikTok at Strength Academy 101. So just remember, guys, if you have questions about how to get more muscle, less body fat, the look you want, and the process along the way, just ask me. All right. This was Strength 101. Peace out.